I love Resurrection Sunday. I mean, I think all of us go through the cross and, you know, the terrible things that Christ endured for us. But the empty tomb is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And we're unique in religions that we worship a risen Savior. No other religion worships a risen Savior. I love some of the old Easter hymns. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. And up from the grave he arose, a mighty triumph for his foes. And so we love those old songs. Not that I don't love the new songs, because I love them too. The words are right. I love them. And so I enjoy that. But today I want to talk about, there's so many things that we could talk about with the resurrection. But we have to, I think, focus on the fact that this is a key issue in our faith system. This is the victory over death. This is new life, and it's given to us based on faith. And so it's not something that you can earn. It's a gift of God and not of man. And so when we look at the resurrection, we should understand that there's three key things, I think, that we should remember about the resurrection. First of all, these Old Testament promises regarding a Savior, regarding a Messiah, regarding someone who would come and deal with sin. In the Old Testament, so much sacrifice, so much blood spilt, the innocent for the guilty, and the promise that one day a Savior would come, Messiah would come, and all that would be taken care of. And the old regime would be forgotten because the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings would come. Now, of course, when he came, that's not what the Jews wanted. The Jewish nation, they wanted Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and he'd drive out the Romans and let's set God's kingdom on earth. But God's kingdom is a faith kingdom, and so we have to consider that. And, of course, the world is an evil place because from the beginning, we are sinners by heritage. We can't do anything about that. And so sin has to be dealt with, and the world has to be overcome. And there is only one way that can be done. So I want to think about for a moment some of the promises from the Old Testament and from the New Testament about what was to happen. And we're familiar, I think, with Isaiah, many prophecies, messianic prophecies in Isaiah. But one of the things that I like about this verse, and I'll take you somewhere in the middle there of the verse, and it says, "And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all of the earth." He promised, one day I'm going to come back and I'm going to deal with those who hate you. And it's true that our faith, I don't know why it occurs, but you start talking about spiritual things and people get angry because they have rejected God. And you know, I see some of the things today on television and in the media, and our faith is belittled. You're not one of those born again people. I was actually out several years ago, and I was delivering some tracts in the neighborhood where we lived, and there was a guy on the porch, and I put a tract in his letterbox, and he said, what are you doing? And I said, he said, "You're not one of those born-again believers, are you?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And he looked at me, and he said, "Good on you. I'm Salvation Army." Not expected. But, you know, that's the thing, is that most of the world rejects us, makes fun of us. And it says here, Isaiah is saying, don't you worry about rejection. And, of course, he's talking to the Jews. And, of course, the Jewish faith was hated too. So one day, we are going to have something happen that will take care of all that. And so it's a promise. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, and we've waited for him, and he will save us. Amen? And it's coming. I don't know when, But it's coming, and we have to be ready. We have to understand that. And Christ has risen from the dead. Somebody's used this verse just recently, and that's good. I don't mind you stealing my message. It happens all the time. But anyway, but here we say, since came death. Death came by Adam. And I was talking to someone just recently, and they said, oh, how can you not believe in evolution? And I said to them, well, I said, that's an interesting thought. I said, but you have parents? They said, yes. Grandparents? Yes. Great-grandparents? Well, you know, I said, I know some people that can go back to, you know, the 3rd and 4th century. They can look at they've checked it all back, and they go back and back and back. And I said, to me, that's evidence of Adam. And you go, what? I said, well, I know I had parents, and they had parents, and they had parents, and if we keep going back far enough, Adam is my great-great-great-something-or-other grandfather. I said, that's my evidence. Evolution has no evidence. Evolution requires faith. It's a different religion. I don't believe in that religion. And it's true that we have promises. And Christ was the promise. The empty tomb was the promise. One day, the Lamb of God would come, and he would be the perfect sacrifice. And that sacrifice would be acceptable to God. And the open tomb is the promise for the future. And Jesus Christ is the sole authority. Scripture says it. He sits on the right hand of God. He was with God in the beginning. He is there now, and he will be in the end. And he is the sole authority. And all authority is given to him. And it says that all his enemies must be destroyed. As time is coming when all of the world will be under his subjection. New heaven, new earth, and believers will be part of that. And the enemy of death will be overcome and destroyed. And I love the way that the scripture talks about things so positively. You will see in this verse, must. I like that word. Must. That's unequivocal. You can't argue with it. It's what's going to happen. And so this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. The empty tomb is our promise for the future. And we think about that and we say, well, that's going to happen. Well, death is swallowed up with victory. The empty tomb is victory. The empty tomb is the promise that death shall be defeated. And so we have that promise fulfilled. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And so we understand that we must give thanks to our God and to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I love the work that it talks about there. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. See, we have to have a faith that we understand is strong, because it doesn't depend on us. I love some of the old songs. I have a new name written down in heaven, and it's mine. It's mine, my name written down in heaven. If you are saved today, your name is written down in heaven. You can be steadfast in your faith. You don't have to waver. We can be unmovable, abounding in the work of God. Faithfully explain to people how they can be saved, and they need to be saved. And okay, we're going to get rejected, and we're going to be, people will scorn us and say we're stupid and so on. I know when I got saved, the whisper was going around the company, I had a mental breakdown. You're smiling, aren't you? Because you go, yeah, people do. And they go, oh, you know, he's got religion, you know. And it's interesting, isn't it, that our labor for the Lord is not in vain. It's not empty. Our faith is not empty. Our faith is based on what God has done. And if we're born of God, it says we've overcome the world. The world is no longer our home. We are pilgrims passing through. And I love that. There was an old preacher called Vance Havner, and he said, we shouldn't think of ourselves as, you know, as people of the world trying to make it through. We should think of ourselves as people of heaven, just waiting to go there, you know, because that's how secure we should be in our faith. That's what we should understand. And he is that overcometh the world, but he that believeth in Jesus Christ. If we believe that, then we've won. The victory is ours through faith. And it's not of ourselves. It's not of works, but of God. And I love this particular passage. Of course, you know the story of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And they said, you know, Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, well, he died so that I can demonstrate the power of God. And we'll he'd be resurrected. And she said, yeah, I know that in the last days, at the end, we'll be resurrected. And he says to her, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. And he uses that phrase often. And it's one of the things that really used to get up the nose of the Pharisees and the Sadducees when he used to say, I am. Because that's the nomination of God. You remember Moses on the mountain talking to God, and God said, you go tell Pharaoh, he's got to let the people go. And Moses said, on whose authority? And God said, you tell him, I am sent you. I am sent you. And Jesus talks about I am. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the good shepherd. I am, I am, I am. And they hated him for it. And they crucified him for it. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you're going to get trouble. We have to accept that. It's just part of being a Christian. And we have to accept that. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And he has. And we are of God. And greater is he that is in you, the Holy Spirit indwells every believer, and they can't take that away from me, and they can't take that away from you. And so it doesn't matter what happens to us. We are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and we are sealed. And I love that whole concept of being sealed by the Holy Spirit. In the old days, you know, you send a red letter, you put it in the envelope and you drop the wax on and you seal it. And then that's only supposed to be opened by the person that receives it. And it's the same with us. Once we are saved and we are born again, we are indwelt with the Spirit and we're sealed. And no one can break that seal except God himself. And so we should have that security to understand that we are saved. And it's eternal. And nothing can affect that. It's just permanent. And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Amen? Called, chosen, faithful. Talking about us. And talking about our future. And what we are going to overcome and what we are going to do. And I love this verse because in the middle there it says we are begotten unto a lively hope. That lively hope is, that word expresses so much positivity about our faith. A living, eternal faith. This is not just for now, this is forever. Our faith is a forever faith, a lively, a living faith, because Jesus resurrected from the dead and victory is ours through the empty tomb. And it's inheritance, which is, the Bible talks about us being joint heirs with Christ. We are one with him, and the heritage is ours to share with him. The future is ours to share with him, incorruptible, undefiled, and doesn't end. It's a heavenly future that we can look forward to with positivity and enjoy and say, one day he's coming back. One day all will be made well. One day we shall rejoice. And we're familiar with John chapter 10 and all of the verses associated with the shepherd and the sheep and so on. And I love all that. But here again, he keeps saying, I am. I am. I am. I am. God on earth. God in the Son. God making the rules. God in authority. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep. There's no equivocation here. I know who has believed and I know who hasn't. And so there isn't going to be any issue about separation of who is saved and who isn't saved. And salvation is the only way through Jesus Christ. And I know my sheep, and I lay down my life. I lay it down. I don't lose it. You know, I love the fact in the garden, you know, Peter got all upset and started waving his sword around and chopping off ears and things like that. And Jesus said, whoa, I could command 12 legion of angels. That's about 50,000 angels. Yeah, he didn't have to worry about what was going on. This is God's plan. I am the Lamb of God. I am the one that takes away the sin of the world. No man takes it from me. I lay it down because I am able to lay it down, and this is the plan of God. I lay it down and I can take it up, and it's a commandment. I'm doing what God wants me to do. And he prays and says, oh, Lord, if take this away from me. But he can't, because it's the will of God and he has to do the will of God. And he said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And we have to understand that and rejoice in it. And the empty tomb shows that this resurrection is perfect. Solves all of the spiritual issues that we have because death has been defeated. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. And neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father gave them to me. Wonderful, wonderful words. And I am. I and my Father, we are one. I am. And I come quickly, and my reward is with me, and I give every man according to his work. And, you know, it's a wonderful promise. We have done nothing to inherit eternal life. Faith comes by believing. But the wonderful promise that is ours is that God sees everything. And everything that we do in love is seen. And Jesus said, you know, just a cup of water is a demonstration of love. And we shall know each other by the love between each other and the love of the lost. And I don't know about you, but I have a lot of lost relatives and a lot of lost friends. And I pray for them and pray that they would be saved. And that's something that we can all do, is to pray for the lost. And understand. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and last, and blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be interesting. Enter through the gates into the city of gold. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. The invitation never ends. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. A free gift. A wonderful, wonderful free gift. And the empty tomb is our promise. Death has been overcome. Victory is ours through faith. Amen. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you, Father, for the empty tomb, for the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ. And Father, if there be any here today that that have not received Christ the Savior. We pray today would be the day, be an excellent day to be saved. We just pray, Father, that you will bless and encourage all of us and help us to look forward to the time that is to come based on the sacrifice that you have made. And the empty tomb is our promise. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.